weekday on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
All right, let's have another update on this nightmare crime situation in North Queensland. It's not of any interest to the people in the southeast corner, quite clearly, because our political representative just looked the other way. But there's a gentleman that does keep us up to date from time to time. He's in print regularly. He's been on this radio program recently, and he wants a new direction. He wants, actually, our political representatives to pursue a direction that might actually deliver some results. It's revolutionary, isn't it? But that's what he wants done. Now, I'll just give you an update. This is the Courier Mail today. Teenage prisoners. Teenage prisoners are being locked down for as long as 23 hours a day due to crippling staff shortages in Queensland's youth detention centres. And these centres currently house 27 adults despite being close to capacity. 27 adults. Fundamentally, we thought that the juvenile justice system only sent under 18s, but maybe they turn 18 when they're there. We're about to find out. Day two of an inquiry into the state's youth crime crisis has heard the alarming conditions the state's youth detention workers were facing with, listen to this, 5 staff assaulted every week. Australian Workers Union Queensland Branch Secretary Stacey Chenault told the inquiry the union held grave fears over the government's plan to build 2 new youth detention centres, as there were not enough staff for them to operate safely. Because one of those youth detention centres happens to be up here, and the big tip is it's headed for Edmonton. Her fears were backed up by former Queensland Corrective Services Director General Keith Hamburger, who said the government should pause plans amid concerns they will be ineffective in terms of reducing crime. Ineffective in terms of reducing crime, which is what we're all saying. Anyway, I've got the gentleman on the line. He's Keith Hamber, AM, and he's the former Director General of Queensland's Corrective Services Commission. Keith, good morning.
Good morning, John.
I think people up here are encouraged by the fact that you continue to beat the drum saying you're pursuing the wrong direction. If you want to reduce the crime rate, change course. Can you give us an update of what you've had to say here in the Courier Mail today?
Yes, John. I appeared there yesterday before the Select Parliamentary Committee, and we got a good hearing. What we've asked for is that the business case for those particular new detention centres be brought before the committee. And I'm wondering whether there were any gateway reviews that have been done. Gateway review is on when major capital works programs are being considered, and they get independent people to have a look at what they're doing, is to see whether what their purpose is, whether there's any other options they could have used, whether this was the best approach, what are the benefits they're going to get out of it, etc. And that's the sort of process that normally takes place in building a business case for a new detention centre or a new prison. Mm. So I think that needs to be tabled before the committee if they exist. And one question that we've asked the committee to ask the Director General of Youth Justice and also the Queensland Corrective Services Commissioner, because this applies to adults as well, as to whether what alternative options did they look at before they decided to recommend these this construction to the government. Mm. And we've also raised in our submission the duty of care issues that the union touched upon yesterday with the treatment of staff and also assaults on prisoners and a whole range of things that could lead to a terrible disaster in these centres. And we've asked for the Director General to be brought before the committee to discuss all of that. And if the Director General, for example, agreed that there are some of those sorts of serious problems, to hear what they're planning to do about it. So it's at least this is now getting to see some sunlight, I guess.
When you use the term disasters in these juvenile justice centres, what are you referring to?
Well, prisons and detention centres over time, there's been all sorts of disasters where people have actually been killed, where blocks have burnt down, people have set fire to blocks. We've had major assaults upon staff and major assaults upon other inmates. Mm. So well, these are the sort of things that happen in prisons and detention centres when they get out of control. They're not nice places to be in those circumstances.
Let's talk about, well, for example, building the business case, obviously looking at the goal that would be embraced in pursuing this particular course. I wonder about this. Clearly it would be to stop crime or to reduce crime. There's no evidence whatsoever up here of any reduction in crime. It just gets worse and worse, except recently there's been a slight reduction in the number of cars being stolen, but it was an obscene figure before anyway. But I'm wondering about this. I mean, is the goal still there, Keith Hamburger, with our juvenile justice system, to improve behaviour, to at least reduce crime, even if it can't be completely eliminated? But we're getting nowhere with that up here.
No, well, and that's reflected right across the state as well. I mean, the goal should be, as you just described it, but and if you talk to public servants, they'll probably tell you that's their goal. But the sad thing is, the way they're going about it and the operations that they're implementing will not achieve that goal. And what we told the committee yesterday, and was in our submission, is that they should be building assessment centres, not detention centres at this stage, to get these young folk off the street. Immediately they come to the attention of the police, and I think we discussed this previously, take them into a proper assessment centre, which is a secure facility where everything is looked at, because at the moment these kids are picked up, either finish up in a watch house, then in a detention centre before the magistrate. Nobody's looked at them individually and come up with a complete map of this person as to what are we going to do to try and rehabilitate them. So the assessment centres need to be in place, and then they flow into a range of other options where these children can go. And one of them was bush camps that Robbie Catt has been pushing.
Yes.
There's other smaller facilities we can build out near on country in various places. There's about half a dozen good, credible options that will demonstrate how to rehabilitate and prove that they can be rehabilitated. Some of these kids, as I've said before, have got severe mental problems from fetal alcohol and all of this sort of stuff.
Yes.
And so, yet we just chuck them into a detention centre.
Yes.
Now, it's terrible. So the whole system is broken, and that's what we want the Director General and the Queensland Corrective Services Commissioner before that committee to explain these sorts of things where they recommend we should be, apparently have recommended, we should be building more of these ineffective, useless detention centres.
This assessment centre concept, I don't know if we've talked about this before. Have you been banging the drum on this front for some time?
Oh, quite some years. Mm. Yeah, that's right. What it is, just to give a brief summary of it.
Yes.
If you're a problematic young person on the street, and we often hear people talk about detention as a last resort, so we should be looking for other options. But the fact is, impulsive young people, and indeed adults that are causing terrible trouble on the streets, need to be detained initially. And in that detention, we need to take the opportunity to assess them. And the model that I saw over in Northern Europe takes probably about 3 to 4 weeks of proper assessment by health professionals, educationalists, people are looking at what were their social background, where they come from, blah, 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 a whole range of stuff. And all of that is mapped out, and it could be this person's, you know, committed heinous crime. Well, they have to be locked away. But there's a whole range of, and probably the majority of young offenders might not have committed heinous crimes, but they've committed a lot of dangerous things, and they're impulsive. But we can come up with other options than long-term detention, but it has to be, once again, appropriately supervised. But until we assess them, the magistrate really hasn't got a proper picture of all of this. At the moment, it's working blind. They've seen he's stolen a car, he's done this, he's done that, and they look at the previous sentences and try and figure out something. But there's no real look at the underlying drivers of all this, and they release them out of detention centres back to the same terrible circumstances where they've been neglected and abused as children, and the whole cycle repeats itself. And we can't have that happening. If we do a proper assessment, we can come up with proper solutions. Some of that will be in a detention centre, but a different sort of detention centre to the one that the government's talking about building.
Yes. You talk about, well, the Robbie Catt bush camps, if you like. You mentioned another option too in the same breath. What was that one about?
Well, it's building smaller facilities, really. Keep building these big things. I think the ones at the moment are about 300 beds. They're saying the one in Cairns is going to be smaller than that. But they're just built like prisons. They're not a therapeutic environment. It's just unsafe for the children, and it's unsafe for the staff, the way it's run.
All right. Do you know when you mentioned the model in Northern Europe, that was music to my ears, because any number of people on this program saying, have a look what they're doing overseas where they wouldn't tolerate this crime rate for a moment and find out what they're doing. You've obviously gone and done that. Can you give us a bit more information on how much better those systems you mentioned in Northern Europe are than what we're doing here?
Okay, well, it's some years since I've been over there, so these sort of figures are a little bit out of date. But the fact is that if you go to Northern Germany, Sweden, Finland, Holland, the imprisonment rates over there are way below ours, probably a third of ours. They have very few juveniles in high security detention. Obviously, the ones that have committed heinous crimes are there, but the range of the other people are in the sort of supervised and controlled options that I've been talking about. But they have this very extensive assessment process, which is where the assessment centre model comes from. Now, I talked to magistrates over there, and they, once this child's been assessed, child comes before the magistrate, but the magistrate has there with them the professionals that did the assessment. The victims of that particular crime are invited to participate if they wish, and they sit in, and everybody discusses this case of the offender with the offender's family there. And out of that, the magistrate, on the basis of that advice and what victims might say and everything else, then determine a sentence. Now, as the magistrate said to me, it takes probably 3 or 4 weeks to go right through that process, because sometimes the magistrate will call them back 2 or 3 times just because there's issues raised, they've got to investigate further, etc. At the end of the day, they arrive at a sentence that everybody's comfortable with. Hopefully, most likely and most often, the victim's comfortable, understand what the process was, what's happened, and they look at a thing called restorative justice, where it's made clear to the offender that we're trying to restore something to the victim out of this process. If the community's been damaged, we restore something to the community if we can. And the other big aim is to hopefully in time restore the offender to a law-abiding lifestyle. That's what the sentencing's all about. Mm-hmm. Not just working on precedence. We gave them 3 months last time, so we'll give them 6 months this time. It's about a proper plan. And then out of that, once you know what's got to be treated, if it's mental illness, if it's complete lack of education, the kids are not being fed or looked after, those are the things that we have to address in whatever sentence is imposed. So it's a totally different model. Magistrates I've talked to out here love it. They say, look, but Keith, we're going to need more resources in the courts. But as they say, that's cheaper than building, million-dollar cell detention centres.
Not only that, it's going to give us much better results. That one-third, our crime rate, once again, it's just blown me away. That's astounding that we're 3 times worse in the results we're getting. Mind you, we have this fetal alcohol syndrome as a result of what's happening in the remote communities. Mm. That would put us behind the eight ball when we're talking about reducing the numbers to get back to a third of what we're putting up with.
That's right. It's a terrible thing, and sadly, those people are probably going to need some sort of care for most of their life because of what's happened to them. Mm. And this is where, once again, in this model I'm talking about, it's just not a justice problem. It's a health problem because, we really need to be focusing on that sort of thing. It's an education problem because at the moment across Queensland, there's well over 1,000, I think, probably today, kids suspended from school because schools can't cope with them and tip them out in the street. Well, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
So they just commit crime. So we've got to get in, and this is where when you pull a assessment centre type approach together, all these things get exposed. And then pressure is brought to bear by media and everybody else under agencies to say, hey, why are you suspending all these kids? What alternative can you offer them in terms of alternative education to keep them, off the streets? Mm. Health, what are you doing out there in these communities? Can't we make some blitz out there to try and sort this thing out? So once we can publicise the underlying drivers of crime, then we can start treating it. Mm. But at the moment, just building detention centres, locking kids up, all this other stuff's just hidden. We all know about it. We talk about it.
Yeah.
But nobody in the government is doing anything about it.
Oh, thank God. Thank God you're here and available to talk on this radio show about the direction we need to take it. Constantly, the people involved in the decision-making keep going down their absolute dead ends in pursuing stuff that we all know won't work. So I really appreciate the contributions you make on this show, Keith. More power to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, John, and thank you for the chance to talk about it, because I think we've just got to get this message out. I mean, you touched briefly on, I know you're running out of time, but on the issue of duty of care and the assaults upon staff that's happening, we've actually asked in our presentation for the Director General and the Commissioner to be speak to the committee about that and tell the committee what they're doing about it.
Yes.
Because you can't send people to work every day with the danger of them going home beaten up.
Yes, exactly. Good on you, Keith. Appreciate this. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Thanks very much.
What an amazing bloke. Thank God we've got him. He's got the courage to tell it as it is. Keith Hamburger, AM, former Director General, Queensland's Corrective Services Commission.